You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I can't promise. I'm going to try my best today. I just told Dan Dale and Owen Parker, I'm going to try my best today to not call it a Buffalo Football Monday. I just said it, but because of the context, I know. I'm going to try my best to call it Friday because it's Friday. And last week, I think last Friday, I kept saying Monday. And then on Monday, I said Friday a few times. No idea why. Head was spinning all over the place. It's playoff time, though, baby. You got to be dialed in. Got to be dialed in playoff time. Oh, and do you remember getting dialed in for these big games and how you have a different routine when you had to play goalie and you're like, okay, this is it for keeps, man.
Well, you try to not have a different routine.
Right, yeah. See, I like that answer.
With a different routine on accident because you're all pressurized and your brain's all scrambled. So you end up, in your routine finding a different thing and there's always a different feel. And so, I'm sure that's what all those guys are going through right now.
Were you superstitious when you played?
Oh, I mean, Sal, I was a goalie, of course.
That's right. So, find me a goalie that's not.
I was, I used to the point where I would like throw my hand-eye coordination balls. This was the best example. I would throw them in multiples of 3 and 2.
Okay.
Because that was my number.
Not because that's the drill. That's because that was a superstition.
No, I would throw left hand would be,
Okay.
If I wanted to get a lot of reps, I would do, 9 on that one. And then I'd have to do 8 on the other because I had to change to fit my, it was psychotic and insane. And I think a lot of people are like that. So, you learn from that and you try and not let it control you, but you prepare how you need to prepare.
I'm not superstitious from this standpoint of I have to do something the same way. But if I do something different, then I think about it. Like, hey, I didn't do that last time. You know what I mean? After the fact. Okay, for example, drive to the stadium. Mm-hmm. Drive, just simple as drive to the stadium. There's a certain route that I go. But because of timing of games and how roads are impacted near the stadium, sometimes I might have to take a different route or maybe I go to Max's hockey game in the morning and I'm like, okay, now I go for the night game or to a 4:25 game. So I have a different route I take from where I am. Mm-hmm. And then I think about, ooh, you know what? Last week I took the other route and the Bills won big. Like if I take this other route, is everything going to be different this week? I think about it that way. I'm not superstitious. I think of in the moment if I'm doing something different.
And I think all of, at least for me, my superstition in what I was playing was trying to eliminate that question in my mind. It was, don't give yourself any excuses. Why do I feel off? Oh, it's because I threw the ball 8 times instead of 9 and it's not the same as just eliminate all excuse, all variable, so that you prepare the same way so you have no excuse to give yourself in the moment.
I love that. It's a great transition into some of the things we'll talk about today, which is how Sunday could play out and what really the feeling is going to be on Monday. We will do that here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show at a Buffalo Football Friday here on WGR Sports Radio 550, brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino, call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's hometown fuel. Game day ready since 1922. Are you game day ready? You have about 48 hours to get game day ready. Just over that, the Bills will take on the Jacksonville Jaguars Sunday, 1 p.m. in Jacksonville. The Bills have not won a road playoff game, as you know, probably. It's been hammered into your head this week all over the place since 1993, the 1992 season. And that would have been in Miami. They won in Pittsburgh. That was the week after the comeback game. So what happened in the Bills go to the Super Bowl in 90, they go back in 91. 92, they beat the Oilers in the greatest comeback in NFL history, but they're a wild card team, so they have to go on the road the next week. They go and win in Pittsburgh with Frank Reich as quarterback, and then the next week they go to Miami and win the AFC Championship game. That is the last time the Bills have won a road playoff game. They lost in 95, 96, 99, you know, the January of 2000, I guess, right? The home run throwback in Tennessee where they should have won the game and closed it out and didn't. And then, of course, in this iteration of the Bills. Excuse me. In this iteration of the Bills, you have 2017, they break the drought. Tyrod Taylor go to Jacksonville and, of course, lose a very low-scoring game. It was right there, but they really didn't have much offense to speak of. Defense played outstanding against the Jags team the next week that went and blew the doors off the Steelers. Scored, like, over 40 points. The Bills lost that game. 19, they go back to the playoffs. That's Josh's second year. And, of course, we know they have a nice lead at halftime, but does not work out in the second half. They lose at the Houston Texans. That was 19. In 20, they go to the Kansas City Chiefs and lose in the AFC Championship game, the COVID year. 21, back to the scene of the crime. That's the 13 seconds year. These are all the road games. 22, nothing because it was home loss. 23, home loss. And then last year, again, back to Kansas City. So, I mean, three of these losses have been against the Chiefs, which is the team that's been owning the NFL, essentially, for the last several years. Yes, you'd love to get one of those games. It's also, it's not, you understand, like, when you're losing to the best team, you know, it's hard. And I will also say, I was on a couple different radio spots this week where they asked me about this, like the road playoff game and not winning a road game in all these years. Well, one of the answers is, folks, they didn't make the freaking playoffs for 17 years. You can't win a road playoff game if you don't play a road playoff game for 17 years, right? I mean, that's also part of it. So, it's been a challenge. That being said, this is not the same kind of road environment the Bills have faced over these years. Jacksonville can get a bit rowdy and loud with their Duval chant and crowd, but there's going to be so much Bills Mafia in this stadium on Sunday. And Jacksonville is a more of a transient type of town, transplant type of town in a lot of ways. Fans from other places, but they do have now, what, 30 years of existence of their team. So they've built a nice fan base. They've been up and down, hot and cold. You know the jokes. They tarp the stadium with the seats. They outsource their games to London. But, you know, they're in the playoffs now. They like their team a lot. They're going to show up. They're going to try and make it difficult on the Bills, but it's not going to be like Kansas City. It's not going to be like Arrowhead. It's not going to be like Houston. It's going to be an opportunity for the Bills to go on the road, have a little bit of a different and better environment than a lot of those other places, and advance on to the divisional round. But the spread is 1 point for a reason, because it's going to be a really close game, folks. Really close game. It should be, at least. I mean, I guess it could be a blowout, right? The point is, this is going to be a game that really can swing on so many different factors and so many minute details, including injuries. And we'll talk with Bills head coach Sean McDermott just about an hour from now here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. He will give us the latest, newest, updated injury report, game status for anybody declared out of the game, who's going to practice today, who's been on the injury report and who hasn't. Who has been on the injury report, who isn't or is going to practice today, I should say, what capacity. We'll get all of that from Bills head coach Sean McDermott coming up just about an hour from now here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Pat Hammer with a look at Jacksonville weather. Are you going down to the game? A lot of you are. Some of you are there already. Maybe you're listening. I'll fly down tomorrow on the team charter. It'll be 80 degrees when we land there tomorrow, essentially. Close to 80 degrees. Not the case on Sunday, though. It won't be super hot. It's going to be about 65 to 70. I like it. That's good football weather. But I'll let Pat tell you more about that. And, of course, what's happening today with the windy day here on tap in Western New York. Going to effort to get Paul Hamilton, if we can, squeeze him in today for about 10 minutes on the Sabres, who had a really nice win last night in New York, MSG against the Rangers. How about the MSG crowd, Owen, booing their Rangers last night? That was a really, really, it reminded me a bit, it's not the same thing, it reminded me a bit of the New England Patriots fans booing them when the Bills took it to them.
Yeah, it was a really impressive win for them. And I find myself saying that a lot.
Yep.
And I mean, you took it to them. The Rangers have really struggled at home this year, which I think contributes massively to the boos that they received last night, because they really didn't play a horrible game. They had a really strong third period, and the Sabres just sort of put their heads down and grinded through it and found a way to get it to the garage.
Yeah.
And it's you're running out of things to say about them because it's consistent. They are every night going out there and playing their game, which is just outworking whoever they're playing.
I love it. That's right. And what I like about this group right now, and the way they're playing, the way they played last night is, it's a great word, consistency. It's not like you're getting these variables of, yeah, they won all these games, but they're kind of doing it fluky, and they got to bounce here and a bounce there. They're working for their goals. They're working to block shots.
Yep.
They're getting good goaltending. That's the hallmark of a good team. That's
exactly
what you do.
And it's all coming together time after time.
And it reinforces it.
Exactly.
You know that. And as a player, it reinforces it.
Exactly. And as a player in the room, when you have a run like this, it proves you, especially in a situation like these guys are in, where for years they didn't, you know, you get beat down losing as much as they have. And they're seeing now, like, man, we have this in us. We have this in us. We're good. We can play with anybody. We beat Dallas and made them look silly on New Year's Eve. And we're going into New York to play in a big time spot, and we kind of handled business no matter how hard it got in the third period or how uncomfortable it was.
How cool is it going to be tomorrow night inside KeyBank Center? Sabres Ducks tomorrow night. We'll have all the coverage for you here. Pregame at 6, puck drops at 7, 18 hours before the Bills kick off in Jacksonville. That place is going to be buzzing tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Wish I could go, but I'll be in Jacksonville, so I'm glad to be there, obviously, for the Bills taking on the Jaguars. Here's what I want to do today, folks. All right, we have lots of time for your calls, and it's time for you to get off your chest what you need to. Say what you need to say. Ask what you need to ask. Anything that's on your mind about this game, about the Buffalo Bills, here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you here on a Buffalo Football Friday. We got Hudson, who's in Cleveland, who's been waiting a while impatiently, and I appreciate that. Hi, Hudson. You're on WGR.
Hey, I'm very excited for the game. I was just wondering if you thought it was a coincidence that we always have to come back, or do you think the best version of this offense is when we're throwing it. It seems like when we're running it in the screen passes, we're always down in the first half.
Well, they came back in New England by running the ball.
There was a lot of throws there, though.
Sure, but they really got it back into it by running the ball. I don't think your premise is correct. They're not just coming back when they have to throw. They still run the ball to throw. Sometimes that happens, and no, I would still rather not be in that position, but it's not like they just throw the ball when they're down. In New England, they got a nice kick return. They controlled the game. They were down only at 2 scores. After that, they came back. I think the Cincy probably a little more throwing. That was a team they could throw the ball against a little bit. I know the same thing happened down in against Baltimore week one. I think Pittsburgh was a little more leaning on the run, I think, when they came back. So, yeah, I don't think it's the best version is throwing the ball. No, I don't agree with that. The best version of this offense is running James Cook and controlling the game. In fact, the Bills have been at their worst this year when they've had to rely on the arm of Josh Allen consistently and pretty much exclusively. That happened against the Eagles. And I know that they scored some points, but, you know, the Eagles did a nice job to shut down the Bills' run game, and they didn't have much of a pivot because they couldn't get guys open, and then that's when guys pin their ears back. So I don't think it's really when they are the best version when they throw the ball. I think they're the best version when they run the ball. The problem is you don't want to be in a position like that all the time. You get in the playoffs, you start getting down, that's when you're going to be in trouble because these are good teams. They're going to close you out better than some of these other teams did. Let's go to Mike in Medina. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Sal, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Just a quick question, a little off from what normal. But the other day, and a couple of times, I heard you talk about 48-man roster, but you dress 50. You have 53, but you only dress 48. And then now with the expanded rosters for the playoffs, do you get 60 and you dress 55?
There's no expanded roster for the playoffs.
Oh, there's not. Okay.
No. So here's the deal, Mike. This happens for the whole season, okay? The only thing that's different that maybe you're confused about is the practice squad elevations, okay? So in the NFL, you have 53 players in your active roster, and you have 16 practice squad players, okay? Once you get to the weekend, you're allowed to elevate 2 practice squad players to make it a 55-man roster, okay? But out of those 55... you can only dress 48 of them. 7 must be inactive. Now, here's another kind of tidbit, and I don't want to confuse you. The only way you can dress 48 is by making sure you also have 8 offensive linemen. If you only dress 7, you get 46 active. So every team does it, right? Right. Every team dresses 8 offensive linemen, so they get 48. Right. So 48 guys are active. 7 guys, if you did elevate 2, 7 guys are inactive. Now, for those guys who get elevated, you can only do it with each player 3 times. For example, Dane Jackson was elevated 3 times this year. He could not be elevated again for the rest of the year. However, here's the difference in what you might be asking. In the playoffs, that resets. You could elevate a guy as many times as you want. It doesn't matter that he was already elevated 3 times.
Got it. That's it. You just cleared that up. And because I was with my buddies, I'm like, I think they can't do it anymore. But now you can in the playoffs. Yeah.
You got it. You got it, man. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
That's exactly what it is. If anybody's saying they can't elevate a guy, yes, you can. In the playoffs, tell your buddy, though, Mike, you still only get 2 a week for each team. You know what I mean? So only 2 guys from the practice squad can come up, but every guy still has unlimited amount. He can individually do it through the playoffs.
Got it.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, glad to help out. 803-0550 is the number to call here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR Sports Radio 550. Sal Capaccio with you. We got a uniform matchup that I think is kind of cool, and I did not know I'd get the engagement on the uniform tweet, which is really cool. Thanks a lot to I think it's Grid. I want to give the gridiron-uniforms.com. This thing, you can go back in this website, it's amazing, and look at every single uniform a team has worn pretty much every single week of their existence for any game. It's really amazing. There's a lot more in there too, not just the uniforms, announcers, everything. It's great. Gridiron database. So in this game, the Bills are wearing their white tops, white jerseys, white helmets. Yes, I know, folks. A lot of you say, just go back to the red. They're not doing that. Maybe they wear red again next year at some point. It's just not part of the discussion. It's kind of a waste of time for me. I get it. You like it, but that's not what they're wearing. We'll see if it happens next year. White tops with white helmets and blue pants and blue socks. For the Jags, they're going with their all teal, except for socks. They'll be white. Teal tops, teal pants, white socks, black helmets. Interesting uniform combo. And most of you are saying, you know, that's not the best Jags uniform. The Bills white with the blue pants, they've been successful this year. But they've been a pretty successful team anyway, both teams have. So that just stands to reason that any uniform you wear, you're kind of going to have a pretty good record. I know there's been a couple that haven't been as successful in times they've worn them less. But the reason I bring this up is you can actually go to this website. It's really cool. And look at all of the uniforms for Wild Card Weekend. Like, on Sunday, here's something for you. On Sunday, all right, the Niners, the Chargers, and the Texans, Owen, all right? Listen to this. These are games on Sunday. Niners play on Saturday. But of all these three teams, though, Niners, Chargers, Texans are wearing all white, each of them. All white, head to toe, except for their helmets. Niners all white. Chargers all white, Texans all white, socks included. The Rams are wearing white tops, yellow bottoms. These are the away teams. Packers, white tops, yellow bottoms. Bills, white tops, blue bottoms. Anyway, I thought it was interesting. Check it out. I'm getting a lot of cool replies from you guys on what you think about the uniforms. Not that it matters to the game. It doesn't. What matters to the game is how you play in the uniforms. And we'll talk about that here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show as well. So let's get some more calls in. John in Greece, and we'll open up some phone lines. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Hey, I just wanted to touch base a little bit on some of the defensive schemes and what we think about the matchup for the Jags for those, in particularly running like the 3 linebackers down on the line of scrimmage, using like a zone fire blitz concept, dropping them back into coverage with man behind them, and then the blitz coming from different areas of the field. Do you think that the matchup with the Jags, with the weapons that they got and Trevor Lawrence, do we think that that's going to be effective?
Well, the Bills have done that this year. The Bills have done that. Here's what I think, John. Do you remember when Sean McVay coached Jared Goff in the Rams, right? You remember that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they took the league by storm when McVay would talk to Goff in his headset, in his helmet, at the line of scrimmage until there was 15 seconds left, right? They wouldn't huddle. They go up to the line, and McVay would literally tell him what he's seeing on defense and give him the answers to the test, so to speak, right? He'd say, okay, there you go. This is what you got. And then once it got under 15, then it shuts off, and then Jared Goff, you know, would run the play. Well,
right.
But here's the thing. The Jags do the same thing. Liam Cohen talks to Trevor Lawrence a lot of times, not every play, up until there's 15 seconds left. He's telling him what he's seeing on defense. Well, the Bills know that too. So what I think is what you're saying, and I agree, that maybe it could be effective to play some stunts, play some games after he thinks he's seeing something, but then you give him something else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, so I wonder if that'll be effective. We'll see. Remember, Joey Bosa did that against New England, knocked down the fourth down pass, the zone blitz there. Dick LeBeau, the father of the zone blitz. Zone blitz means guys who are normally pass rushers, like defensive ends, defensive tackles even, at the snap of the ball, they'll drop into a zone and drop back, not covering a man, going to a zone, and then the linebackers will actually replace them and rush the passer. That's a zone blitz. And I do think that it can be effective against teams who think that they see something and then you switch it up on them because they don't know where those rushers are coming from. And that's the same thing that's hurt the Bills this year, what we call simulated pressure. Simulated pressure is you see a lot of guys. I don't know where they're coming from, who's coming. I see six guys up there, four are coming. I don't know where they're coming from and who's dropping into zones. So those are things that will happen this week. Those are things that will be the game within the game. It'll be interesting. 803-0550 is your number to talk about it here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll get to your phone calls. We have open phone lines here for you to say what you need to say. Today's the day. Say what you got to say about the Bills and the Jags. Wildcard weekend, Sunday at 1 here on WGR.
This is a great example of where weakness becomes an issue because the Bills have two significant concerns. Number one, they struggle to stop the run. We'll get to Trevor Lawrence in a second because he's playing great football, and I think there's a couple of reasons why. Number one, the Jags can run the football, and they run it well. The Bills have struggled in that area for a good part of the season. Two, the reality is the Bills do not have any way to win one-on-one matchups in their pass game. So everything must be highly schemed, or else it's, let's hope Josh makes plays.
That is Greg Cosell breaking down the game. I don't think he says anything there that we're unaware of or people don't recognize. Bills' run defense has been leaky this year, although they've been better lately, I think. They did a really nice job against Philly, and when they've kind of really concentrated on saying, you're not going to run on us, then they've done a better job. But then there still comes a time where it's like a big run that leaks out maybe. You know, I think you go back to some of the losses like to Atlanta, Bijan Robinson, that big run, Miami, later on, Achane had one. But that's still going to be as good as the Jags are throwing the ball, and they really kind of make their bones throwing the ball. I still think the Bills have to concentrate on the run first to make them a little more one-dimensional, if you will. Here's the problem. This is why. If the Jags can run the ball, then now suddenly you're opening up even further their passing game. If they figure, you know what, we're really not being able to run the ball here, then you can concentrate a little bit more on dialing in on their passing game, their wide receivers, their pass, your pass rush. And so everything's going to start with running the football, stopping the run. It always does in football. Really always does. And I think the Bills will take that approach this week. We'll see about the injuries. Sean McDermott will join me for his weekly radio segment coming up here in about a little after 11 a.m. to give us an injury update. And obviously, Terrell Bernard missing 2 days of practice. Not ideal, but Shaq Thompson has been very good at middle linebacker, although he has been limited for a couple of days. He did play after his injury in Cleveland the following week and then had a week off last week as the team held guys back. So we'll see what Sean McDermott says about him, but the ones we're watching, Matt Prater, the kicker, obviously, Ty Johnson, running back, some big ones there. Don't expect Max Harrison to play. We'll get Sean McDermott a little after 11 a.m. here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Say what you need to say. Today's the last day to do it before the Bills take on the Jags. And then our lives kind of change in a lot of ways starting Monday. I know. Your life is still your life. And the same thing for me. I have a job. I have to go. And I say, like, I got to go cover the team either way. Whether they win or lose, whether there's a hiring or firing or a trade throughout the season, like, I have my job to cover the Buffalo Bills. But certainly, when you're in a one-and-done scenario, a win-and-go-on or lose-and-go-home scenario, it's a little different for all of us on Monday morning, right? And how we react and how we feel. And Amy in Fredonia wants to talk a little bit maybe about that. Hi, Amy. Go ahead. You're on WGR.
Hello. Hi, Sal. It's a first-time caller here for you.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I'm nervous, and I can't have another heartbreaking year. I mean, we need to win it all, you know? It's like, it's time to win it all, because the last year in the stadium, and it's like, let's go, you know?
So, I get it, yeah. Well, first of all, go ahead, Amy, go.
I'm glad to talk to you, because it's been my dream. I listen to the Bills games all the time, and I love the announcers, and especially John Murphy. I miss him a lot, but you guys are awesome, and I love the Bills.
Well, Amy, thank you for calling. Your first time, you did a great job, by the way. Thank you. Hope you call again. Number two, I'll tell you that we still see Murph at the home games. He's doing great, and we miss having him on the radio, too. Chris does a great job, of course, but we love Murph as well, and we do see him at the home games, and he's there with us, just so you know, okay?
Oh, great. Awesome.
Yeah, you got it, Amy. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, Amy, for the phone call, the kind words. Appreciate that a lot. I love that. Love that call. 803-0550. Bills, Jags. I've been saying it all week. The ideal scenario. I love the fact there's games tomorrow. Going to be flying in, getting right to the hotel, just as basically games are starting, the first game of the day. Rams, Panthers, right? We can talk about that later. I can get into the other games and all that. But we'll do that. And then later tomorrow night, it's going to be another NFC game. It's Packers, Bears. It's going to be awesome Saturday night. Get some dinner, watch the game, watch the Sabres game. It's going to be cool. Jacksonville kind of doing all that, right? And then Sunday at 1 comes, Bills play the Jags, and I just said, everything changes Monday for all of us regarding how this game goes down. Our lives, in a lot of ways, are different on how we look. And again, I don't want to make it out to be bigger in a life perspective when I say this, but we all will have different ways we treat Monday if you're a Bills fan or you cover the team. But the ideal scenario, I think for all of us, would be, unless you're a Jags fan, I guess, watch the game. Bills win. Now for me, do some interviews, get on the team charter, head back home, land right by Sunday Night Football is concerned. When for you, if you're at home, you're watching the game, Bills win. Hey, enjoy the rest of the day. That's nice. Nice few hours. And then what do we all do? Kick our feet up, watch Chargers, Patriots, and go, this is nice. We're already in. We're already in the second round. You got to play for it. Where are we going? We going to Denver? Because if New England wins, Bills are going to Denver. We know that. If the Chargers win, the Bills are playing the winner of the Monday night game. Then we got to wait another day, but that's okay. We'll wait for that Monday night game and say, now who are we playing, right? But it's going to be on the road. That's the ideal scenario. The worst case scenario? You're hearing, not that these guys, I'm going to say this, it doesn't mean to sound the bad way. Worst case scenario is, you have Derek and Zach on Monday. Not because Derek and Zach do anything wrong, but because I'm down at One Bills Drive for locker cleanout. That's why. Instead of doing a Monday reaction show. Okay, let's get to Josh in Charlotte. Hi, Josh. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. How you doing, man?
I'm good, thanks.
Good. Hey, just wanted your opinion on, I know the last couple of days it's been a big topic with the whole it's Matthew Wright, right?
That's who we talked about. Matthew Wright is the practice squad kicker they signed, yes.
Question, what are your thoughts? I know it's been Jeremy and Joe were talking about it too. What are your thoughts on the whole thing with Prater? Do you think they'll sign Wright?
I'm not trying to come. I don't know. I mean, we don't know what the status is. Yeah. I'll find out from McDermott here in a little while. But I mean, he had a full practice. I mean, I really don't know. That's going to come down to tomorrow at 4 p.m. I would say this: even if Matt Prater has a good week, you might have to consider it because you can't go into the game on Sunday and have something happen to him. You know what I mean? And then you have no kicker. So as far as what I think they'll do, I'm not really sure until we get a little bit more clarity from Sean McDermott on Prater on yesterday and how he's feeling and all of that, and then we can go from there.
Yeah, no, most definitely, man. Well, have a good, safe flight to Jacksonville and go Bills. We're going to get it done.
All right, thanks a lot. I appreciate that. I just don't know because it's a tough situation and tough call. Let's remember, if they were to sign Matthew Wright to the 53-man roster, someone's got to get released. That person has to go through waivers. I don't think they want to do that necessarily, but if you're in that situation, you might have to because you only get two elevations. You could elevate him, but what if Ty Johnson can't go? There's an elevation you need for Frank Gore. What if Joshua Palmer can't go? Maybe you have to elevate Mecole Hardman. What about Terrell Bernard? Are you going to elevate one of the linebackers like you did last week because you need depth? I mean, there are roster decisions to be made here over the next 24-plus hours for the Bills. And I think today's probably a big day for all of that. And we're going to find out from Sean McDermott when he joins the show here in about a little over 20 minutes from now, 20 to 30 minutes from now. Walter is on a cell phone. Hi, Walter. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Good to talk to you again.
You too.
I was at the game Sunday, and it's very emotional. My son and I have been to a lot of games in that building.
Hey, Walter, you're having a really bad connection. I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to come back to you. So if you could go to another spot and give me, and I will come back to you in just a few minutes because I want to let Sarah go first. Hi, Sarah. Go ahead. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Just had a quick question. I hear, and please forgive me, I don't have a ton of like great football knowledge or anything like that, so I'm calling to get your opinion. I hear McDermott talk a lot about winning the game in the trenches and at the line of scrimmage. And he talks about that a lot. I know that's probably his style from just over the years. What's your opinion on the matchup for what he's talking about, winning in the trenches at the line of scrimmage with our defense against Trevor Lawrence in the offense, knowing they've been, you know, really doing very well in your strong offense? I'm just curious, like, I'm thinking of, you know, is this a good matchup for Bosa, Russo? Are we going to be able to put the pressure on Lawrence? You know, can we win at the line of scrimmage? I don't know much about their offensive line, so I was just kind of curious if you could speak to that a little bit and shed some light on when we hear McDermott say those things and how this matchup might be this week.
You got it, Sarah. So, Sarah, you know that we've talked a lot this year about how Josh Allen has taken way more sacks this year than he normally takes, right? He's been sacked 40 times this year, Josh Allen, which is way more than what we're used to, and it's not a good number, right? When it comes down to it, you're like, okay, you got to be better than that. That's not a great number. Trevor Lawrence has actually been sacked more than Josh this year. He's been sacked 41 times, right? So that could lead you right to, okay, well, that means they're not protecting Trevor Lawrence. But he's also a guy that he'll sit back in the pocket, he'll wait, he wants to push the ball down the field. So, you know, he might hold on and wait for a play to develop when it comes time to that. So there's a stat called sacks per pass attempt. That's obviously the percentage of times that a quarterback drops back to pass and how often he is sacked, all right? The Buffalo Bills this year, Josh Allen has been sacked. Hold on, I'm going to get that for you right now. A total of 8%, basically 8.08%, which is 21st in the league. It's not great. Jacksonville, 7.28, that's 17th. They're kind of the same in that regard, to be quite honest with you, right? I would say they are. Their left tackle is injured. Now, he missed 2 days of practice, Cole Van Lannen. We'll see today if he gets ruled out. There's some word in Jacksonville. They're just being precautionary, and he'll play. I would say the Bills have an ability maybe to affect the passer here a little bit more than they have in other games. The problem is, Sarah, they just haven't been able to do it themselves enough, regardless of who they played, even when they've had those opportunities, if that makes sense. Even when they played lesser offensive lines, they haven't gotten to the quarterback as much as you'd like them to. I do like the matchup here more for the Bills than in some other games they play because of things I just said to you. And the fact that, honestly, like Jacksonville's run game can be good at times. They're not this super explosive run game. So that tells me the Bills can maybe in those situations say, we're going to go after Trevor Lawrence and, you know, try to get him to the ground and see if they can beat us that way, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, thank you. This was really helpful. I appreciate it. Thanks for taking my call and for giving me that overview.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. These teams are very similar in their sacks per pass attempt. Jacksonville offensively giving up a sack every 7.28% of the time that Trevor Lawrence or their quarterbacks drop back. Buffalo, every 8.08%. They're very similar. Jacksonville, slightly better when it comes to sacks per pass attempt. Now, I will say, when you have a mobile quarterback like Josh, when you have a mobile quarterback like even Trevor Lawrence, sometimes those numbers can be skewed because those guys like Josh run around forever and say, I got to make a play, and then it counts as a sack. And it really isn't a sack. It's not on the O-line. It's really more on the quarterback. But sacks can be a quarterback stat, too. Let's see if Walter's in a better spot. Hi, Walter.
Hey, so how's that? A little better?
Yep, a lot better, buddy.
Good, good. Just saying, you know, I'm gonna miss the emotions of the old building, but I am looking forward to the modern amenities of the new one. Another quick point, good to see the Sabres are doing okay. It was nice them going into New York City and winning that one quite handily. As far as Sunday's concerned,
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I think it's going to boil down to the two best players, which is Allen and Lawrence. And whichever one has a bigger game is going to win, because the teams match up pretty much the same, you know, in terms of the run and the all that. And I think Allen's going to show up. He's due to win on the road, obviously. And I'm thinking next Monday we're going to be talking about next weekend's opponent. All the best. Always nice chatting with you.
Yeah, you too, Walter. Be well up there. I hope you're right. I hope Monday we're doing a reaction show. Then I'm not at Locker Cleanout. I hope that Friday we're talking with Sean McDermott about their next opponent. I hope next Friday we're talking about weather in some other city somewhere. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Have a nice week of leading in the divisional round. Boy, the angst is off the chart, man. It really is. It is off the chart. Like what Walter said there about Josh Allen I don't love the word due. Like, oh, you're due to do this. I don't know. It's sports, right? You can go either way. But I do love what he said about, you know, thinking that Josh is going to really show up. This week, Josh said something himself that got me really excited about what he might be able to pull off or do or how he could play on Sunday. I'll tell you about that when we come back here next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Got a wind advisory going on today. It's going to be, when did Buffalo, New York become the windiest place on earth? I mean, it is so windy here all the time now, it seems like, doesn't it? It's unbelievable. I mean, I don't remember it being like that when I was growing up. Maybe it was once in a while, but holy cow. We're going to have Pat Hammer on 11:30. He'll talk about that as well as weather in Jacksonville if anybody's going down there for Bills, Jags, Sunday at 1 p.m. In the meantime, also going to hook up with Paul Hamilton in a little while just to touch on the Sabres and a big win last night. Bob is in Syracuse. Hi, Bob. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Good to talk to you again. Hey, two questions for you. And I'm not sure how much insight you have on this. How much different is the 2024 Jacksonville roster to this year's roster? And what do you see in the differences? Obviously, we throttled them last year. We had a different team. They did. That's my first question. Second question, do you think Brady might be holding back some conceptual play calling in the playbook as far as some of the running packages and so forth? Because, you know, obviously we're a little bit predictable in what we run. We do it very well, but I'd like to see a little bit variation to take them off balance as far as their film work and such. And I just want to get your thoughts on those two points.
Thanks. Yeah, so I get this question a lot, and people have a perception or a notion that maybe the Bills have been holding things back on offense. I don't believe so. Now, I would say this, though. Every single week, you come up with things that maybe you didn't do earlier in the year because teams haven't seen it. It's not some grand scheme of let's hold back, and the playoffs are going to unleash this. Folks, they got to win games. If they did that and they were losing games because they were holding things back, then shame on them. No, you're gonna do things to win that game. But you do kind of have things you can kind of turn to and pivot to that maybe you haven't used yet against a different opponent. I'll give you an example. Carolina, they're running toss sweep every play. They go to Pittsburgh, they run the same inside zone play every play that gets bounced outside. Like, they have different ways to run the football. I don't think, to answer your overarching question, Bob, that they have like, oh my God, they're holding all this stuff back or something like that. But I do think they have to come up with new ways and concepts to attack each team. But that's just football. It's what every team does. Let's go to, and by the way, the Jacksonville roster, I mean, not that much dissimilar. The coach is really the biggest thing. The coach is the biggest thing. Liam Cohen and defensive coordinator Anthony Campanelli, obviously a very big difference there. Their defensive coordinator last year, Ryan Nielsen, is in Buffalo now as their defensive line coach. One of their defensive line, a senior defensive assistant, I believe, is his official title. So they are different from that regard. I think Jacoby Myers and Parker Washington are major, major. Well, Parker Washington is not an addition, but the way he's played because of Jacoby Myers and his addition because of the coaching and how they've gotten Trevor Lawrence to be a little unlocked. I do think those are, you know, big time differences for them. All right, stay with me here. I got to take a break. I'll get to you, Derek, Gino. Thank you if you can. In the meantime, Paul Hamilton real quick, then Sean McDermott. We got weather from Pat Hammer. We got your phone calls, 803-0550 here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday.
Trevor Lawrence went from liking pro football. He loves it, and it's it's really fun to see. And, man, if Buffalo can get by this, Kate, this might be the hardest test they could have in the playoffs. I really believe that. Jacksonville, big, powerful, tough, hard-coached against a team that really relies a little more on speed, smaller, everything like that. So it's really an interesting game. But I'm just going to go there and say if I had to pick a winner, I'm taking Jacksonville.
All right, put it on the board, baby. Put it on the board. Put it on the bulletin board. There it is. Chris Sims and his pick for, was that Chris Sims or was it Phil? Was that Phil? It sounded like Phil. Okay, thank you. I thought so. I thought when you said Phil, and then my brain went to Chris, but it sounded like Phil. Okay, there you go. Chris, of course, is the son of Phil. But anyway, put it on the bulletin board. There you go. Phil Sims picking the Jacksonville Jaguars over the Buffalo Bills. I do agree, though. It's a tough matchup. It's a 1-point spread. And if the Bills do win this game, I think I could find my way to saying, okay, the other team they play next week, Denver, Houston, Pittsburgh. I know Houston. Going to Houston would be a tough matchup for them. But you could find your way to different ways you like it better for different reasons than this one. But you got to go take care of business first. We'll get to Paul Hamilton in a moment on the Sabres. We'll get to Sean McDermott on the injury front on a Friday. And then we're going to get to Pat Hammer at the bottom of the hour on Jacksonville weather. But first, let's go out to Derek, who's been waiting from Boston. Hi, Derek.
Sal, how are you? Always a pleasure listening to you. I definitely feel like taking care of business this week would be big. The one thing that I did like about Brian Daboll was when we did come to the playoffs, I always felt like there was a wrinkle in that offense, some sort of different plays that we hadn't seen that all of us were like, whoa, where'd that come from? But I just don't want it to – we can't take another heartbreaker. We've had so many heartbreakers, you know, you feel the same way. We just can't take another heartbreaker. I know they have such a great kicker. I'd hate to see the last possession. All they need is 20 yards, and this guy kicks his crazy kick. But hopefully not. Go Bills. And I also just wanted to share, last week, my wife and I and our little guy and our two moms, we actually went up to Buffalo for the last game, and I'm so glad I did that. I know the game didn't mean much, but my wife was like, you should go because you're going to regret not going. And it was unbelievable. Honestly, it was such a good time. We had a great tailgate. Great experience. Just wanted to share that. And go Bills. Let's make this the year.
You got it. Yeah, Derek, great story. Glad you shared that. I'm glad you got to go to the game. Really cool. We'll see if Joe Brady has anything up his sleeve. Joe Brady, by the way, news this morning, the Ravens have reportedly requested an interview with Joe Brady for their head coach position. Let's go to Gino up next. Hi, Gino.
Phil, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
But I feel confident about this week. But the reason I'm calling is, you know, the last 20 years, the Patriots and Chiefs have killed teams with their tight end and slot receivers. You know, Brady did it with Edelman and Gronk. Mahomes did it with Kelsey. You know, we have Kincaid, Knox, Shakir. And I feel like we just don't use them to their ability all the time. I feel like this weekend, if we can just, you know, bang those 5-6 yard passes, and then I think that's the way we're going to win the game.
Yeah, well, listen, I like that a lot because there are some numbers that show that the Jags defense is good, but tight ends, middle of the field is where they've kind of had some issues this year at times. Dalton Kincaid's been big for the Bills this year, there's no doubt as well. And I like the fact, I never told you earlier what I liked about Josh. Josh said he did self-scouting over the week that he was off. Joe Brady said, you're not playing, do some self-scouting. And the way he said, he's like, man, I look and go, I stink or something like that. Because he was missing so many guys and didn't take the free checkdowns and didn't take the easy money. And I think you might see a little bit more of that this week. And I like that. I like that he's thinking that way because playoff football, you got to take what's given to you sometimes. You can't make that mistake. And that's the challenge in front of the Bills. Paul Hamilton joins us right now here on the Western Hotline, just off a plane and a flight from New York City where the Sabres beat the New York Rangers last night. And the Sabres continue on a roll. They are now in a playoff position. Paul, another really, really solid night last night for the Buffalo Sabres, from penalty kill and shorthanded goals to goaltending, blocking shots. It's really starting to feel like it's coming together like an actual good hockey team, if I can say that.
You know what I think is to like about the game, believe it or not, is the third period.
And you might say, well, it didn't go real well in the third period as far as, you know, the Rangers really came on and really poured it on. They score 51 seconds into the period to make it 3-2. Next thing you know, the shots are 11-0, and the Sabres can't get out of their end. But I think the reason I like it is because you saw a lot of adversity. This team has never handled adversity very well until now. And, all right, you have the adversity, and Colton Ellis said himself he'd want that goal back that he gave up 51 seconds into the period. So you give up a goal like that, now it's 3-2. Now the Rangers are all over you. They're throwing the kitchen sink at you. And, you know, your goaltender's hanging in there. You're hanging in there, though. It's still 3-2. You know, so you face that adversity. Then you take that penalty. The Sabres just can't seem to get out of their game late in the third period. Peyton Krebs, a double minor for high sticking. There's a little over 5 minutes left to go in regulation. Now there's more adversity that you're going to have to face. You're basically going to have to kill penalties the rest of the period with a one-goal lead. Well, that only took, what, about 20 seconds or so to alleviate that problem, because the Sabres come down. They score that shorthanded goal. What a shot that was by Samuelson, getting it by the ear hole of Jonathan Quick's face mask and under the crossbar for a goal. He looked like he was in too far, but obviously he wasn't. And now you've got a 4-2 lead. Again, you have faced down adversity. You know, that was there for you, and you easily could have lost that game. And you know what, Sal? I bet last year they would have lost that game 9 out of 10 times.
And maybe the Vancouver game, too, by the way. Maybe the Vancouver game, the way things started going in the third period.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So they seem now to be able to handle adversity and kind of just look it in the eye and say, okay. And they found a way to leave that arena with 2 points and a victory when it looked like the Rangers were starting to take over the game. The first 40 minutes, Sabres did real well. I thought Ellis looked great. I thought, they got on the board first in the first period and took the 2-0 lead. Once they got the lead, which was like 4 minutes into the game, they never relinquished the lead. They held it throughout. And I think we're seeing a maturity of this team, that it has grown up, because there was a lot of, hand-wringing after that Columbus game. How can you lose to the Blue Jackets? This is, it's like, well, yeah, they just did win 10 in a row,
Yeah, I know.
They're not going to win 50 in a row. But to me, that Columbus game, and I said it then, really didn't mean a whole lot. You know what's going to mean something is the next game.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready? How are you going to respond to this loss? All right, you had a bad day. How are you going to respond to that? Well, they responded with 2 wins. They go out and beat Vancouver. They go into New York and beat the New York Rangers. To me, that's the response you need. That's what winning teams do. Every team's going to have a bad game, except maybe Colorado. But every team is going to have a bad game. It's how you respond to that bad game. And, I'm rather impressed that you responded by 2 victories.
Paul, what has been the secret for Mattias Samuelsson to be unlocked this year like this?
Sometimes it takes defensemen longer, and that's why I caution people with Owen Power. Although I think Owen Power has actually played better in the last X amount of games, however many you want to say. Everybody wants to give up on guys too early. And Samuelsson was one. People wanted to buy him out. And it's like, well, that's a bad idea. If you bought him out before this season, he's on your books for 10 years. Bad idea. Even if he doesn't improve or whatever. But I think, I hate to say it, maybe the best thing to happen to him was when Thompson got hit and there was no response.
Mm.
I mean, I wondered if he could even come back from that in the locker room for that happening. And he has more than come back from it. Yeah. And look at the way that the toughness he plays with. Something that Lindy Ruff, ever since he's gotten here, has tried to convince him. Use your size. Use your strength. I don't care if you fight. That's not what we're talking about here. And he has been much more physical this year, on top of the good play, on top of adding offense to what is good defense, killing plays and those types of things. So he just seems to be brimming with confidence. But, just the fact that he's willing to use his size, willing to knock people down, and you don't have to drill people through the back wall, but if you use your size and strength, you can win a lot more battles, and I think he's doing that.
Jason Zucker returns to the lineup. How important is he to this team? They win a couple of games. Of course, they had the 10-game winning streak. He wasn't really on the team, on the ice for any of that. But how important is he? We saw the goal last night as well.
Yeah, he missed 10 games and they won them all.
I know.
He's like, okay, I guess you don't need me. But look at the power play. The power play hadn't scored in 8 games.
Mm-hmm.
So he's where he's supposed to be. And you know in sports how you got to make your own breaks, because you say to yourself, how come the other team always gets these breaks in front of the net, but the Sabres never get those garbage goals or whatever? Well, that's because winning teams know how to be around the net. And in order to get a break to go in off a skate or whatever, you got to be there. You can't be on the perimeter. And so, you know, I'm a firm believer in you make your breaks. Well, the goal went in off his back. Great. That's a lucky goal. I understand that. But it doesn't go in off his back if he's not where he's supposed to be. If he's on the perimeter or someplace else other than in front of the net when Dahlin winds up with that shot, the shot doesn't come back, hit him in the back, and go in the net. So that's what I talk about when I think good teams make their own breaks, because they're where they're supposed to be. And if you're where you're supposed to be, then pucks might go in off a leg, or they might go in off a skate, or they might go in off your back. Oh, you know, things like that. And Jason Zucker is the epitome of that. He knows where he's supposed to be on the power play. And a power play that hadn't scored in 8 games, his second game back, guess who gets the power play goal? Jason Zucker.
The Sabres also really doing a great job at killing penalties. Number 2 in the league this year, Paul. They get, obviously, a nice goal last night from Ryan McLeod. Alex Tuch, one of the best penalty killers in the league. How about that aspect of the game, and what's been the difference this year?
Those two are so good as a pair. It reminds the older folks in the audience of Don Luce and Craig Ramsey,
the pair
that they were back in the 70s when they were up for the Selkie. And they were just – I don't know if the Sabres have seen a pair like that since those two. And McLeod and Tuch definitely qualify for that. And just the epitome of McLeod. We don't sit here and talk about empty net goals. That was – desire and the willingness to win.
Put that on a film and go show every young hockey player.
He missed the net.
Yep.
But what did he do? He turned the Jets on like he was shot out of a cannon, because he wanted to win that hockey game.
Yep.
He wanted it more than the Rangers, who actually were ahead of him if they would have just hustled a little bit. He just took off, hustled, got to the puck first, and got the easy empty net goal. That's a guy who wants to win hockey games, right there.
Love it.
And that's the kind of effort we're seeing from this team right now.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Paul, let's get to a couple injury updates. I think Lyon and Kesselring are the only ones I have here that I know that are on IR right now. And then there's the Kulik update that Lindy Ruff gave, so if you can run through those.
Yeah, Kulik really is not on the ice or anything. And when you're dealing with blood clots, you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I think they got to dissolve, and you just don't know when that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So he can't really do a whole lot physically, and still isn't.
He's still hoping, I guess, that they play, but there's no real clarity on that yet, right?
Yeah, yeah, okay. They're hoping to get him back by the end of the year, but you just don't know. Alex Lyon, Lindy said before they left for New York, 7 to 10 days, so I guess that would be 5 to 8 days right now, because that was 2 days ago. So, you know, he's getting there. And Kesselring, he was hoping to get him on the ice. Now they're off today, but he could still be down at the arena getting on the ice. But they were hoping to get him on the ice by the end of the week. So we'll see. I doubt very much, since he hasn't been in a practice, that he would play tomorrow. But you may see him in the morning skate tomorrow. You know, we'll have to wait and see. So, and of course, as you know, Danforth had the broken kneecap that he got 4 games into the season. So I have no idea. I'm not used to broken kneecaps when I'm talking about injuries, so I have no idea how long that takes.
And tomorrow night should be fun at the arena with the Bills playing the next day. The Ducks are in town, a team that, you know, it's a team that you can have, very beatable team, I guess you'd say. They're having a decent season, but, you know, it's going to be really energetic in the arena on a Saturday night. Before I get to Sean McDermott, and I let go of you, Paul, here, didn't get a chance to ask you last week about your memories inside Highmark Stadium. If you have one you want to share, maybe your first game, maybe a game over the years where you covered a Bills game or something like that.
You know what it is for me? it was the very first Winter Classic.
Oh, there you go. I love it.
Where I'm down on the next to the glass was we're broadcasting. I just wish I would have seen more Sabre goals. If they lose 5-4, that would have been great. I think the fans, but they only had one goal, but the sound. And you know this because you're down there. But this is something that I didn't realize, the sound that comes down when they scored that goal was just amazing. It was an amazing experience. Probably the best thing that I've done in my career is to cover the Winter Classic down there. And I've also talked about a lot of concerts that I've seen down there when I was younger. The Stones, The Who, Peter Frampton, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. You know, we can always all talk about the Bills, and there's plenty of ones I remember them. Even one that people don't talk about. I remember the Hail Mary to Roland Hooks against the New England Patriots was a memory. You know, I remember Ahmad Rashad back when I was a kid in junior high school. On Monday Night Football, catching a slant to win a game, you know, when I'm thinking maybe it might have been the first Monday Night game. I'm not sure, but still, you know, it's you know, something like that. So I kind of went deeper in the memory bank because, of course, the comeback against the Oilers, we all know that.
Right.
But I was trying to go deeper in the memory bank.
And how about this? Let me ask you this: what about your first playoff game? Remember, mine is the 81 wild card at Shea. Bill Simpson, the interception. What's your first Bills playoff memory?
Oh, I would go back to the Steelers in the 70s. As I said, I was back junior high school, maybe grade school back then.
Yeah.
You know, so even you know when. Some of the earlier ones. Now, I didn't go back to War Memorial Stadium in those games. But O.J. Simpson, of course, I remember O.J. Simpson. So anything past that would have been, you know, I didn't get to go to a lot of games, maybe one a year sometimes, maybe not. But so I wasn't in the stadium a lot early on in life. But as it went on, and then the last time I was at a Bills game in the stands, I would have been in college. I kind of figured that out. I was sitting there for a concert going, when was the last time I was in these stands? And I thought, it was college, the last time I was in the stands for a Bills game at home.
Real quick, Paul, I did forget. I want to ask you real quick. Some buzz yesterday about the Sabres possibly in discussions or part of the mix to host the 2026 draft. Is that right?
Yeah, the Sabres weren't commenting on that, but I have talked to some people about that. And what John Butchergrass was reporting is correct. They're trying to get it. Now, it's not the draft that everybody's thinking, you know, where all the teams are there and the tables and all that. It would be like what it was last year where the players are there.
Okay.
But the teams are still, like the Sabres are still probably at the stadium. So the players were there and they'd come up on stage and shake Gary Bettman's hands. And then they did those awkward Zooms with the teams after that.
Oh, yeah.
So it would be – that's what it would be. Is because that was in Los Angeles where the players were. So the players would be around and be introduced and go up on stage and get their jersey, but the teams would not be there.
The decentralized draft, that's right. Okay, Paul, we're going to let you go. Sean McDermott's going to come up here shortly on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Have a great weekend tomorrow night.
You
Sabres,
too.
Ducks, 7 o'clock, and Paul will be all over it at PHAM1717 on X. Thanks, buddy.
Enjoy Jacksonville.
All right, thank you very much. Paul Hamilton right there, and it is a Buffalo Football Friday, so we're going to talk more football again. We had to squeeze in the Sabres, though. They won 10 in a row. They lose a game. They win two more. So what? They won 12 out of the last 13, and they're in a playoff spot right now. They got a game tomorrow night against the Anaheim Ducks at home, 18 hours before the Bills kick off in Jacksonville against the Jaguars on Sunday. And, of course, this is a Buffalo Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. Call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Crosby's Hometown Fuel. Game day ready since 1922. We will take a timeout quickly here. And when we come back, we'll have Bills head coach Sean McDermott give us the Friday injury report and game status of any players who aren't going to play Sunday in their wild card matchup in Jacksonville.
Joe kind of had me self-scout myself throughout the year this last week. And I came away, God, there's so much out there that I've missed, right? Whether it's getting a little lazy with my feet and not taking a check down and maybe instead trying to force something downfield, or throwing the ball away and not taking sacks and allowing us to be in field goal range. And there's still so much room to improve. And I think I just have this extra emphasis, like I said, on points are at a premium in the playoffs and just trying to do everything I can to give us points.
Yeah, that's the quote I was talking about earlier. I really like that from Josh Allen. I think that's very self-reflective. You know, we see it, right? We're like, why did Josh run around back there like that and take that sack? Just throw it away. And you know, sometimes these guys are so caught up in each game and game planning. Yes, they go back and review film, but they're not digging into the details as much in the past game as they might be looking ahead to the next game. And last week, he was able to kind of take a mental break away from game planning because he knew he wasn't actually going to play very much. He took the one snap and was able to self-reflect and self-scout. And I love what I hear there, which is, yeah, sometimes trying to push the ball down the field a little too much when I should just take the check down. Sometimes not throwing the ball away, and I took a sack. Takes us out of field goal range. I think you'll see a different Josh Allen this week in that regard. I do, because I think Josh has always been really good at that sort of thing, which is kind of correcting and fixing when things like that happen. Bills, Jags, Sunday at 1 p.m. Pat Hammer will tell us the weather. For those of you traveling down, maybe you're down there already, somewhere in the southeast, you're going to the game. And we'll also take a look around the NFL and other games going on. But first, let's get to Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott for his weekly radio appearance here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Friday on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. Now, here's Sal Capaccio with Buffalo Bills head coach, Sean McDermott.
And we welcome in Sean McDermott on the Western Hotline. Sean, good morning. Welcome to a Buffalo Football Playoff Friday here on WGR.
Good morning, Sal. Great to be with you guys and looking forward to our weekend here.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's just reflect on last week a little bit, Coach. Last game at Highmark Stadium. How cool and special was everything from really the send-off of the stadium, the big win, obviously, for your team, and what happened kind of afterwards with everybody sticking around and enjoying the festivities?
Oh, man, once-in-a-lifetime situation, once-in-a-lifetime experience. Couldn't have asked for a better night, you know, just with the environment, the fans, the outcome of the game, and then just, you know, to watch the people hang around, like you said, and sharing the experience, sharing the moment together, and just kind of freeze time for a little bit there. Truly special.
And then your team wins the game, and you got to sit around on Sunday night and kind of watch what's happening with the rushing title with James Cook, and everybody wants it for him, for the organization. It's a big deal. What was that like for you guys on Sunday, whether it's just at you as a coach or with your coaches and texting people or other people, and then, of course, with James himself and knowing he ultimately gets the rushing title?
Yeah, great situation. You know, it got a little bit close there, especially in the first half when Derrick Henry had the – had 100-plus yards. But, you know, overall, hey, man, you got to do what's best for the team. We tried to do that. And also then James, secondly, and, you know, it worked out. So we were able to get him fresh, but also help him get the rushing title. So we're extremely proud of him, and it's great for the organization as well.
And then you had another title yardage winner this year, and that is Ray Davis. He actually wound up leading the league in average yards per kick return, the only player in the whole league over 30 yards a kick return. I don't think a lot of us saw this coming, Coach. How has Ray kind of been unlocked as a kick returner this year?
Well, I give him credit, but also, you know, the whole unit that he's working with, you know, the kickoff return unit and the blocks and the schemes that Coach Tabor and Coach West have put together. You know, it's as you know as well as I do, it's a new play in the league this mm-hmm. year, and so there's been a lot of growth and a lot of you know, evolving going on with that. With that play in itself. So extremely proud of Ray, extremely proud of the coaching staff and what they've done with it.
And then obviously you get to this week, you're preparing for the Jacksonville Jaguars, you know who you're playing, you get there on Monday to start preparations. I know everybody says the same thing. You got to kind of stay with your routine. Like Greg Rousseau said, you can't really focus on something different or do something different. But that being said, how do you kind of treat it with players to make sure that doesn't happen? Because everybody knows that if you win, you go on. If you lose, your season's over. So how do you make sure that you don't make it maybe bigger than it is, but keep everything the same, knowing what the stakes are?
Well, I think that's the obvious. You know, people know what the stakes are. The best thing we can do is be consistent in terms of the players and their routines, our routines. But also not shortchange the process, right? It is a game where we have to win in order to advance, and we've got to play a good, solid football game on all three phases here.
All right, Coach, let's get to the Barnes Firm injury report. of course, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured for help? Call 1-800-8-MILLION. You have a lengthy report. A few guys you got back. A couple guys you got back to practice yesterday, but got a couple guys still who have not practiced this week. Is there anybody you know you're declaring out who will not play on Sunday?
At this point, Max Harrison will be out. DeMar Hamlin will be out. As you know, we just opened up DeMar's window coming off of IR, so he won't be ready to come back this week. We'll monitor that as we move forward here.
Okay, you have a few other guys.
And then I would just add Terrell Bernard as well. Sorry.
Oh, so that's okay. So Terrell Bernard is out for the game as well, Coach?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you had a couple other guys. You had one other, Ty Johnson, who has not practiced for a couple of days. What's his status for today and maybe the game?
Yeah, we're going to look at him today, take a hard look at him today, see how he does, and we'll know more after practice.
Same situation with Joshua Palmer, 2 days of a DNP?
He will not practice today. We'll see where he goes for the game. He'll be listed as questionable for the game.
Okay, and then what about Matt Prater, Coach? How did you feel that he came out of yesterday? He was a full participant, but obviously he's been dealing with the quad injury. Where does his status stand right now?
He will not practice either today, which is not, unusual for a kicker. Mm-hmm. Thought he did some good things yesterday, and we'll see where he and how he trends heading into the weekend here.
I don't want to go too far into strategy. I understand all that, but you obviously have to make some decisions by maybe 4 p.m. tomorrow. Is that all the things that you're balancing right now on your plate when it comes to Prater and the elevations and the roster and all that, how that's got to work basically this weekend?
Yeah, there's multiple things right now we're trying to balance, and we've dealt with a lot of injuries most of the year, so really nothing new, to be honest with you, in terms of having to balance some of those things through the weekend and kind of some last minute decisions here. But we're on top of it. Players are putting money in the bank this week or this practice today, and mm-hmm. as we prepare to get ourselves ready to go down there.
Speaking of balancing, Coach, there's a report this morning that Joe Brady is a candidate to be interviewed by the Baltimore Ravens. At least permission has been requested for their head coaching job. And you've been down this road before. You yourself were in this situation. We've asked you over the years when you have a coach in that situation, how do you approach it as a head coach? What's your messaging to either that particular coach or how you treat the week?
Well, you're happy for them. There's only so many opportunities out there, we've had success on the offensive side, and Joe's been a big proponent and reason why. And you just look at it, and so you're happy when someone gets acknowledged for the job that they've done, and you want the best for him and his family. All that being said, we try and make it very clear that our focus needs to be with this team and this situation and the moments we're in this weekend here. So Joe's done a great job of that in the last couple of years since he's been interviewing, and we expect the same moving forward.
Jacksonville Jaguars, Sunday at 1 p.m., Coach. A team that you've played each of the last 2 years, but much different, really. A new head coach, a new coaching staff, basically, and the way they're playing right now, arguably playing some of the best football in the National Football League. What do you see from them, especially maybe over the last 2 months, 8 weeks?
Yeah, you hit it. I mean, they made the trade for Newsom, the corner. They made a trade for Jacoby Myers, and it's paid off for them. I believe they're 6-7, maybe 7-1 since the trade. And Myers and Newsom have had huge impacts on their team, and they're definitely a team that's in rhythm right now, and we're going to have to play a really good and sound football game to beat them.
And then, of course, it's in Jacksonville, and we know the last time you were down there in 17, lots of Bills Mafia showed up. When you go to Carolina, Atlanta, the Southeast, of course, everywhere, Bills fans show up. But how cool is it to know that you're going to have a very big contingent of Bills fans on hand? I know that for sure, Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, that's always great to know. We've got great support, unlike any team in my mind in professional sports overall. So we're very thankful for that and look forward to seeing them down there.
All right, Coach, have a good practice today. Safe travels to Jacksonville, and we'll talk to you next week before your next playoff game on Friday. So thanks a lot.
Sounds great. Have a great weekend, everyone.
All right, you too. That is Bills head coach Sean McDermott on the Wester Hotline. They have a lot of decisions to make on the roster. They have to start balancing what to do with the Matt Prater situation, Matthew Wright. They have to start balancing what to do with Ty Johnson as of today, the practice today. I like what he said. Get money in the bank today at practice. Find out what happens today. Then they can go from there, right? Then we can see exactly who's going to be available, who's not. We do know Max Harrison is out. DeMar Hamlin is out. He isn't on the active roster anyway, but you have to declare him because he's got his IR window opened. And Terrell Bernard is out. That means that Shaq Thompson, who's been limited with the neck injury, will start again at middle linebacker. No surprise there. But that also tells you that maybe they might have to use one of those elevations on either Keyonte Jenkins or Bealen Spector. So we'll see where that goes. That is the injury report headed into Jacksonville. And as I said, hopefully we get another one next Friday as the Bills will either play, either, we know this, if they win, they'll play either at Denver or at the winner of Steelers-Texans. That's how it's got to work. They cannot play the Patriots. They cannot play the Chargers. Those are the two other teams. Bills can't play either of those teams in round two. You hope they're playing in round two. We'll see where it goes. Let's get to our weather check for all those Bills fans going down to Jacksonville and you watching at home, of course, wondering, you know what? Is weather going to play a role in this game? Our guy Pat Hammer has the answer.
Break it down.
When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time.
WGRZ TV2 chief meteorologist Patrick Hammer joins me on the West Hur Hotline. Bills at Jags Sunday at 1 p.m. Now, listen, selfishly, I'm sure you know this. When I'm looking at all the possibilities, yeah, I'm thinking of matchups for the Bills. I'm also thinking about weather and how nice it would be to get to Florida in January for a game like this. And this is what it is, right? It's way different. What did we say last week? Denver versus New England versus Pittsburgh all have different weather. Well, this was the best case scenario weather-wise, I would guess, Pat.
Yeah, weather-wise, 100%. Now, when you get there, by the way, it's going to be, you know, postcard Florida weather in terms of temperature. It's, you know, like 80s up until, of course, Sunday when temperatures come down. I do have my eyes, though, if we move forward. Let me change that. We are going to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
If the game is in Denver, I can't recall the last time the Bills have played there, but it's a totally different animal because they're 5,000 feet up, you know, and the altitude does have an impact.
Yeah, and obviously it's something you have to prepare for, and it could be at any time of the year you could get a snowstorm there, it seems like, because it's so high up.
Totally,
it always seems like,
right?
I mean, it just seems like that with that. Next week, obviously, if the Bills do advance, you could have another really kind of difference. It could go to Houston. It's a dome, right? But it's Houston, and fans could go there. You could go to Pittsburgh, right? I mean, which could be a way totally different scenario. So we'll cross that bridge when we come to it next week, and we'll think about, you know, that. But hopefully you're right. In the meantime, Jacksonville, 80 degrees when we land on Saturday. You said the temperature's going to drop. What are we looking at game time and through the game Sunday starting at 1 p.m.?
All right, so starting, first of all, the day is going to be fine weather-wise. It's going to be a little cloudy. There is a slim chance of a little shower. The front, by the way, that's bringing us the rain today and the 60-mile-an-hour winds we're about to have, by the way, that same front is going to cross through Jacksonville on Saturday night into Sunday morning. By the time it's there, it's going to be nothing like it is here, but there is a slim chance of a little shower. But it's that front that's going to bring temperatures down. 80s today when you land tomorrow. Game time temperature, probably around 67, 68 degrees. A lot of cloud cover, but that's fine. And the temperature kind of holding steady. That same front will kick up a bit of a breeze. Okay, there's going to be a northwest wind. I'm not really sure how wind swirls at that stadium. You probably know better than I do. But a little bit of a northwest wind between 15 and 20 miles an hour. During the game. So that's the one thing, you know, we're kind of eyeing. Otherwise, it looks like just ideal weather temperature-wise and no sun glare, no shadows to worry about, right?
No.
With the clouds. That was a thing. What game was it recently? Cleveland,
right? In Cleveland. And there was a pass where Dawson Knox dropped the pass, but that wasn't the reason, but people thought it might have been because you're right. The glare was really bad in that game, and there were some plays right there where that might have been something that impacted it. There are a lot of people flying down today to Jacksonville, and here in Buffalo, we know we have a wind advisory. What's going on here in Buffalo? How might it at all impact any travel for anyone?
Okay, first of all, it's now a high wind warning, okay?
And it
begins at 1 o'clock. And that's okay. It was upgraded this morning because the wind is expected to gust to near 60, maybe even 65 miles an hour. Okay. Now, does that mean at your house or at your office, you're going to see wind like that? It's pretty, you know, if you're protected by trees, you may not experience that kind of strong winds, but many areas will. And it could cause some flight delays this afternoon and tonight. The strongest winds, it's going to be kind of a narrow window between about 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. The wind is going to be maybe a little less than it was a week ago. If you remember, we had that windstorm when winds were hurricane force. I mean, this is the windiest place on Earth sometimes, I feel. And the wind is really going to begin picking up again later today. So flight delays are possible. Having said that, in about an hour or two, you may see the sun and go, oh, the storm has passed. It's the sun, believe it or not, that's going to help bring that wind here. It's a long story, but I'll explain that later. But we will have a very windy afternoon and evening.
What about into next week? We have the wind today here. Hopefully a win. You have wind here with a D today. Yeah, and then you have the win on Sunday in Jacksonville. And then what are we looking at as January rolls on here in Western New York?
I want to quickly just mention one thing. If you are traveling to Jacksonville today and you are flying, you've got that. If you are driving, it's pretty much going to rain the entire way.
Okay.
And I mean that because the rain extends from here all the way to New Orleans. Okay. That front is moving east slowly. So if you were to leave, let's say this afternoon or tonight, doesn't mean, you know, it might slow you down a bit, but it's going to be a very rainy drive, like across 10 states on your way down.
Okay, good.
In terms of next week. Okay. So tomorrow, we have another day of rain, unfortunately. Rain in January to me is just a bummer, but it can happen. We're going to see that in the afternoon. So wet weather tomorrow afternoon. Sunday, the cold comes back, snow showers. When you land at the airport Sunday night, Sal, with a victory, I hope, it might be snowing. It's certainly going to be cold, so prepare for that when you land on Sunday afternoon and evening. And then next week, it starts off kind of typical January 30s, but a deep plunge into winter weather is going to return Thursday, Friday, and into next week, which means next weekend, rather, if there is a game, you said there's a possibility of Pittsburgh, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That could be a weather game next. If I know we're getting ahead of
ourselves. No, it's okay. I like that. By the way,
Sunday,
I'll also tell you this. Because I just understand generally how the NFL runs its schedule and how they do these things with teams and, you know, the days in between games, I would say this. If the Bills win and they go to Denver, I think that game will be Saturday in Denver. If the Bills win and they have to go to Houston or Pittsburgh, I think that game will be Sunday.
Okay. I will say this. Just looking ahead to Denver, it's been an incredibly warm winter out there, by the way. It's barely snowed. Just a little bit. It certainly looks a lot colder for a weekend game next weekend in Denver. Pittsburgh, though, potentially looks snowy a week from if the game was, especially if the game were to be on Sunday next week.
I can't imagine
it's way out there, but
I can't imagine the NFL would make Pittsburgh if they were to win play Monday to Saturday. So almost definitely, if they win, they're going to play Sunday. You know what I mean? That's what would happen.
Right.
So that's why that game would most likely be on a Sunday. Yeah, I mean, like, there's a lot of changes obviously going on. Here's a question for you I want to ask. What is the weather here this Sunday at 1 p.m.? Let's just say the Bills had actually gotten a home game here in Jacksonville. It was reversed, right? Because I go on Jacksonville radio, and I got some buddies down in Jacksonville are like, man, I'm so glad the game's here and not in Buffalo. We didn't want to go up to Buffalo in January. I'm like, you know what? What if that were the case? What would be the weather?
We did a thing with our sister station in Jacksonville, television-wise, and they kind of asked the same thing.
Yeah.
By the way, their fan, the way they were talking, it's like they were even talking about how Bill's Mafia is expected to take over the stadium. It's just funny how they said that. But
100%. I spoke with somebody on Jacksonville radio this week who said they're expecting, as of right now, the people he talked to is expecting at least 15 to 20,000 Bills fans. I think it could be more than that.
Yeah, the television station there said the same thing. Yep. Anyway, if the game were to have been here, likely would have been some snow showers. Nothing too terribly heavy. But on Sunday at 1 o'clock, probably about 34 degrees, 33 degrees, and a pretty good chance of snow. Not a snow game like a couple years ago, but snow would have been falling. So maybe it would have been like the game against San Francisco last year.
All right. Thank you very much, buddy. I look forward to next Friday. We're going to do another Buffalo Football Friday with a weather check next week.
Yes, yes, we are. And we're talking Denver or Pittsburgh, like you said.
Or Houston.
Or Houston. Okay, so two out of three could offer some weather challenges for sure. But, weather looks pretty good, though, for this Sunday.
All right, thanks a lot, buddy. Have a great weekend. Enjoy it, all right? We'll talk next week.
All right, good travel, Sal.
Thank you very much. Pat Hammer, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist. Okay. A couple other things that Sean McDermott is talking about with the rest of the local media when he's done on the Extra Point Show. He meets with the rest of the media every Friday. Got a couple of notes we'll get to, including on Dalton Kincaid, Shaq Thompson, what he said about them. We'll do that when we come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show and touch on the rest of the wildcard weekend schedule. Okay, folks, we got you covered all weekend long. Tomorrow, 4:30 p.m. on our sister station, News Radio 930 WBEN, it is Rams at Panthers. And then night game, also on WBEN, Packers at Bears. After the Bills game here on WGR on the Bills Radio Network Sunday, BEN will also have 49ers at Eagles at 4:30 p.m. Back here on WGR, 8 p.m. Sunday night, Chargers at Patriots. And then Monday night on the Bet 1520, it's going to be Texans at Steelers. In the meantime, Rams, Panthers, get you kicked off tomorrow. It ends with Texans Steelers. The Bills will take on the Jaguars, and all your pregame coverage all morning long on WGR Sports Radio 550 and along the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. And of course, it all starts Saturday with the Sabres taking on the Anaheim Ducks. That'll be at KeyBank Center downtown, 7 p.m., 6 p.m. pregame. Sean McDermott, meeting with the local media, says he does not anticipate Dalton Kincaid having any injury designation for this game. As long as today goes well, knock on wood, at practice, that is great. That is great news for Dalton Kincaid not to have an injury designation. Not surprising. Played last week, played well, got through the week at practice, even though limited. Speaking of that, though, Shaq Thompson will be listed as questionable, but McDermott says he should be good to go. So you'll see him as questionable. Don't freak out. He should be good to go, right? Okay. We're good to go. Bills, Jags, Sunday, 1 p.m. All the talk is done. All the prep is done. The teams are ready. Saturday, tomorrow, by 4 p.m., you will get elevations from the practice squad for the Bills. That'll give you an indication of maybe where things stand with Matt Prater. A lot to be decided between now and then. And of course, a lot changes depending on what happens by about 4 p.m. on Sunday. We'll be here either way, hopefully back here with a reaction show on Monday. In the meantime, Sabres Live up next here on WGR Sports Radio 550.